Some of you guys might have met him this week. Oh, we had a great time. I tell you, we did. We had a great time in Bible school this week. And the one of the main things I took away from that is you know Jesus loves you. And we said that a lot this week. You know Jesus loves you. Can you all repeat that with me one time? You know Jesus loves you. Okay. And I was had the opportunity to be the storyteller this week. So we're going to go to Bible school in the next half hour or so, however long the Lord leads us. We're going to start in 2 Timothy, verses 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. If you all would stand for the reading of God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm going to read it again. All Scripture, not part, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let us pray. Lord, we are gathered again here this morning as we bow before you. We ask for your guidance. We ask for your forgiveness. We ask for you to stir each and every one of our hearts this morning. Help us to be encouraged by your word that lies before us. Help us to reach out. Help us to be receptive. We ask God for your guidance as we share the word this morning. We ask God you be with our pastor as he travels this morning. We ask for you to be with those that are home sick and grieved this day. We ask now, Lord, again, that you guide and direct this service. Again, I ask for you to forgive me. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. And amen. 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 So, you know, I don't know who all was at Bible school this week and who wasn't, but we're going to talk a little bit about some of the lesson texts that we had. And the reason I read those scriptures first is to tell us, to emphasize all scriptures given by inspiration of God. You got to believe that. That's got to be part of the foundation of your faith. That all Scripture come from God. It was not written by man. I don't care what they try to say. It's been a book for so long, how did it stay the same? Because it's God's Word, not man's Word. That's how it's going to stay. God is omnipotent. God is omnipresent. God is omniscient. And God is permanent. God is solid. So that's why we got to establish all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What's the goal of Bible school? Instruction. Sharing the gospel. Teaching them the foundation. Teaching them the truth. Okay, now, our first night was... One more comment. I was thinking about this last night. The Word of God lies here before us, okay? And it talks a lot about, like, the living water. We need it to survive, correct? Okay, it's like, sometimes it's like we're standing by Somersville Lake, if you know how big that lake is, and it's full of the purest, cleanest water ever, and yet you stand there thirsty when you can just get a drink. That's the Word of God. It's right there before us. Take and drink of His Word. So, the first night, we talked about these three fellers. Because our study was about miracles. And every night we talked about different miracles. And you think about miracles of God. Salvation is a miracle. Grace is a miracle. It's something that we can't perform. It's something we can't give. But there was these three guys. It is in Daniel 3, 17 and 18, and Abednego, Meshach, and Shadrach. You remember them guys? You remember the story about them? Abednego got tired of being last, so we put it in alphabetical order. Abednego, Meshach, and Shadrach. And the miracle was the king had a golden idol, made a golden idol, and it was King Nebuchadnezzar. What it, Cindy? She was king. She was a great king too. But the idol he made, and he said, "When you hear this music and all the music that we had, Debbie and Kathy playing the music, kazoo or whatever it was, I don't know. But anyways, read the story. Read the real story. It's right there. It's in Daniel. It's an exciting story. But anyways, that when they put out a command that if you heard this music, you had to fall down and worship that idol that was made by King Nebuchadnezzar. Well, and in the society, same society was the same back then as it is today. So they played the music, everybody bowed down, these three guys. And in society today, they want you to watch your neighbor and see if he's being radical. You need to turn him in. And that's just what's going on right there. People saw them and went to the king and said, "They didn't bow down before your idol." Oh, he was mad. He was upset. "He didn't do what I said. You got to do that." They didn't. And you know the story. You know the story. They put him in the fiery furnace. Turned it up 7 times hotter than ever. The people that threw him in got burned up. And the miracle is their faith in God protected them. And their statement, and this is to us Christians today, their statement was, "Even if he doesn't bring me out of the fire, we will not bow to your gods." Amen. Relevant today, just like Greg said earlier. Very relevant. That's why it's the inspired word of God. That's why that depiction of that story is in there, for our learning, for our reproof, for our strength, for our encouragement. I'm encouraged by the word of God. I'm encouraged by what those guys went through. I'm encouraged by what those ladies went through. I'm encouraged by what I read and hear out of the word of God. I'm going to read a couple of verses real quick in Daniel. Daniel 3, 17 and 18. Daniel chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Remember that statement today. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden idol which thou hast set up. That was their statement. Verse 325 says, he answered and said, "Lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the 4th is like the Son of God." Amen. How's your faith today? I wrote down right there, who saved them? Of course, the Lord saved them. You know, Jesus loves you. Second night. Now, you guys remember the story of the big guy and the little guy. And was all intimidated by the big guy. You ever have a big guy in front of you? And I'm not talking about a person. I'm talking about an obstacle that you can't think you can't overcome. Something that's got you a fear. Something that has got you broke down, cowering in a corner, hiding in the closet under a blanket. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 46 says, this is David. We know David. We know the story of David. He was a little shepherd boy, a ruddy little red-headed feller, I think. And he was tending the sheep, and they was having a face-off between the Philistines and the Israelites. And you know the story of the scenario. And they sent a champion out, and he's calling out for somebody to come out and fight me. And the agreement was made, if I win, we will serve you. If you win, got that backwards. If you win, we'll serve you. If I win, you'll serve me. So, in building up the story, David comes and he says, I think in verse 26, he says, and David stood to the men that spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done in the man to the man that killeth the Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? So we're seeing where he gets his strength from. We're seeing what his foundation is built upon. And it's not his stature, because it says he was a ruddy little red-headed guy, and he tended sheep, but he had great faith in the miracle. And the miracle says, this day, this is the confidence that David had. It's to test our confidence and where our hearts is at. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know, listen up, that all the earth may know there is a God in Israel. Telling us our faith. It says now again, who saved him? The Lord. You know, Jesus loves you. And there's a point to all that. Third night, they're sitting there. Jesus is preaching to this huge crowd. They've been hanging around for quite a while now, and everybody was getting hungry, and they didn't have any food. But the disciples said, Lord, what do you want us to do? Run and buy food for all this many people? He said, well, what do you have? Give what you got, folks. Amen. Give what you got. Amen. Everything you have come from him. So he gives you that for a purpose. Now use what you got. So he says, what do you got? And they bring him five loaves and two fishes. And he blessed it. And break it and fed every one of them. And then some. And then he had some to take up for seconds, for a snack at night. Had stuff left over. Think about what you've got. Think about what he's given you. Give him what you got. Well, I ain't as good as it. Well, okay. You got something else. Well, I can't do that. Okay. Do this. Man, that's good stuff. Matthew 14:16 says, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And in their obedience, they took what they had, and God blessed it. Jesus break it, spread it. So they need not depart, give thee them to eat. Who saved them? The Lord. You know, Jesus loves you. And the other miracle that same night, we had two on Wednesday night, and Jesus had told the disciples to get in a boat and go to the other side. And he went off to pray. They're out there on the boat, and they see this figure on the water, and they say it's a ghost, it's something, and they feared. But then when it got close enough, they said, it's Jesus. And Peter, now the miracle's already occurred, Jesus walking on the water, Well, that's pretty big stuff. I asked one class, I said, any of you ever walk on the water? And one little feller held his hand up. I said, bud, me and you need to go down to the creek and let's see this happen. And that was the end of that. But anyways, Jesus was walking on water, but Peter, now put yourself in Peter's shoes. I think of Peter a lot. I got a lot of respect for Peter because I think sometimes our personalities are close. But Peter always got himself in trouble. So Peter says, Lord, if that be you, bid me to come. And the Lord said, come. Well, Peter just gets off the boat, just walking along, and then he's like, what? Is this really happening? See what I'm thinking? I can't walk on the water. What happened? He took his eyes off the Lord. And what did he say in verse 30? He said, Lord, save me. And who saved him? The Lord did. You know, Jesus loves you. And on the last night, talk about these two fellers, old Paul and Silas. You've heard of Paul and Silas, you know, they're a couple of big name guys in the Bible. But do you really know who they are? Do you really know what they did? Do you really know they're not just characters in a story in the Bible? They are grounded men of faith that put their full trust in the Lord. Well, that was easy back then, you know, it was easy. Well, let's see how that turns out. They're preaching out on the street. Well, I could do that. I don't. But I think I could. No, I couldn't. Somebody else will do it. Greg will do it. We'll get Greg to do it. Greg will do that. Tony will do it. They'll do it. He sings a lot. He's up in front of the crowd a lot. They'll do it. No, Paul and Silas was preaching the Word of God, preaching Jesus, His death, burial, and resurrection, and the gift of life through His shed blood. They were preaching that. And they come up on this woman who had an evil spirit. Oh, don't say that in the pulpit. We don't believe in evil spirits. We don't think they're real. They are real. They want you. They want our children. They want to grind them up and spin them out till they're nothing. They hate them. Man, that's hard preaching. That's truth, people. That's truth. If I could get your kid and ruin their life with drugs, alcohol, sex, all this other garbage that's out there, they will do it and laugh about it. So, they cast that spirit out of her. Well, from the monetary part of the world, the guy that owned her, he was losing money. That guy, she was making him some money by predicting people's future and all that. Who was it? Somebody. Oh, it was the official said. Well, yeah, she told me if I drank a whole gallon of camel's milk that sat out in the sun for 2 days, I'd be sick. And she was right. She was sick. So, but anyways, it was costing her money, and the official said, well, what do you want me to do with them? Throw them in jail. I know a pastor. It's online. He's been arrested twice now. Because why? Because he refused to close his church. And you can probably guess which state that happened in. But that's what it is, to quiet him down. Satan's using anything he can to divide you, to bring you down, to split the church, to make you weak. So they get thrown in jail. Oh, you know, that's us. Oh, I'm in prison because I said, you know, Jesus loved you. I'm in prison for that. Wow, what a terrible thing. And what do? No, they go in there and they start singing and praising the Lord, even in their worst circumstances they could be in. Think about it. being locked up in chains with two other people wanting to play doubles tennis. And that was some of the lines in the play. But anyways, we'll leave them there. They were put in prison, and they prayed and sang. And what happened? What happened? If you remember the story, that's why this is important, the Word of God. There's good reading in there. An earthquake. What? An earthquake. You all see the kids bouncing the ground, making an earthquake. It helped them to understand. And the ground shook, and the chains fell off, and the doors flung open. They were freed. But the guard, the jailer, who was responsible for them, he was going to kill himself. Why? Because he thought they all got away. But Paul and Silas didn't. They stayed. And you know what happened next? That jailer said, I want what you guys got.
Amen. Amen.
I want what you guys got. Now, I'll think about yourself now. Put yourself in Paul and Silas. Does people want what you got? So, the man got saved, and the gospel was presented to him and his entire family, and they were baptized and saved. Who saved them? The Lord. You know, Jesus loves you. John 3:16. You know this. I don't even need to mark. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My question now is, who saved you? Who saved you from the depths of hell? Who saved you from the bonds of sin? Who saved you from the destiny that you had in your life? Who saved you when you wasn't worth saving? The Lord did. The Lord did. You know, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. It's not just words. That's a real action. Jesus loves you so much that we can't comprehend it. But I hope from these stories you realize the importance, the value of His love for you. It's your eternal being. It's your eternity. You know, Jesus loves you. He does. He loves you very much. He gave Himself for you. So, the point of all this, you know Jesus loves you thing. Matthew, I think, red letters, as Tony had read. Greg's opening prayer was right in line with the sermon topic today. And that's of no coincidence. God put it together. In spite of us, He put it together. We get out of His way. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them. This is Matthew 28:18. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. You know, Jesus loves you. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. You know Jesus loves you. Teaching what? What? I'm no teacher. None of them guys was teachers either. None of them guys was teachers either. But he was teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Who saved you? Jesus. You know Jesus loves you? I do. Isn't he worth just telling somebody that Jesus loves him? Let your life reflect to others that Jesus loves them. but use words. You know, our life shows it. But tell it. So let's say that again. You know Jesus loves you. You know Jesus loves you. It's pretty easy, isn't it? Tell it to one person this week. Maybe one a day. Just say it. If you've never done that before, you'll say, oh, I can't wait. And just let it go. They're not going to bite you. We ain't ever been hit yet. I've only had a few frowns, a whole lot of smiles. A whole lot of smiles. Whether it's fishing, whether it's in a little store here or a little store there. People want to hear. They don't want to hear what I have to say. They want to hear that Jesus loves them. That might be all it takes to get a lost person to step over, to realize they're caught up in this world. Oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And some person out of the blue says, you know Jesus loves them. Well, we don't know what's going on inside of them. We have no idea where their heart's at, what's on their mind. Do you know where your heart's at? Jesus loves you. You know who saved you? Jesus. Don't you want to share that? Don't you want to hand that out? You can't force it on nobody. But you can tell them. In a kind, loving way. Just anytime, right, Greg? Anytime, any place. You want to come get a song? I hope your heart was stirred today as this stirred mine. That Bible school, it seemed like we made a lot of good connections with children. And you know the adults need it also. Raise up a child the way he should go.